Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 78. Oh yeah, 78.
We kind of fell off the rails. We were doing really well, and then we got...
As our daughter would say, life.
Life. Life happens.
You guys know. You've listened long enough. If you've stuck with us for 78 episodes, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know. And let's face it, 3 weeks, that's a dawdle for us. But yeah. Hey, it is the Shared Desk. I am your host, T. Morris.
This is my serious face. Can't you tell?
You can tell that. You've been with her. You've been
I don't
around
know about
longer.
Your serious face. But as for me, I'm Pip Valentine.
It's been a long week.
I am so looking forward to the Defenders.
Glug, 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 glug,
yeah,
glug,
Jessica glug. Jones coming back, baby, coming back hard.
She's not going to take any.
She's not
going to
take
from them.
Any guff from Danny Bland. Damn. Absolutely none. So if you want to find out more about that, hey folks, Netflix, look it up.
Yeah.
Wow. What a week it has. What an amazing 3 weeks it's been. For one thing. The reason why we had the pregnant pause between shows was, of course, Motor City Steam Con.
And the fine people of Detroit.
Wow. What a great event. That was so much freaking fun.
And Salathiel Palland, who does the honors of creating Motor City Steam Con.
I did not think she could top the opening show from last year.
You're going to link to that video and then you'll understand.
Yes, we are.
When you go to Detroit, do not miss opening ceremonies.
Don't miss Motor City Steam Con.
No.
It's a great event.
There.
It's a great event. And we got some time with the man behind the Raven and the Writing Desk, Chris Lester.
Yeah, we had a great, really good breakfast. Oh.
Dem scones.
Yeah, the hipsters are taking
dem
over.
Dem scones, yo, dem scones.
The hipsters
Khaleesi's
are taking.
It's all about the scones, yo.
Sorry.
I don't know where that came from.
I was channeling my inner key.
I was just going to say that the hipsters have started to get into Detroit and are creating artisanal food.
It was a wonderful cafe. We had a great breakfast there with Chris. It was great catching up with Chris.
You ate a burrito bigger than your head.
That was the night before. I you know what? At this point, I would probably say something like, I regret nothing. No, I regret everything.
You regret that. You
I
won't be doing that again.
Everything.
The waitress did warn you. Man. She said, that's going to send you to sleep. You didn't even get two-thirds of the way through, and you're like, I need a nap.
She was absolutely right.
But it was good.
It was good.
We had beer.
Motor City Steam, and when we got back, we're actually testing out a new rub that we got from Beef Jerky Unlimited. Always
that's the real reason we go to Detroit.
Always look forward to Beef Jerky Unlimited. And let's see, just you know, then of course when
we met
when
Dave
I got
Lee.
Back, we well no. You met Dave Lee. But what?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
fine.
I got to hang with Dave
Lee
at RavenCon.
But we got to see some of Dave's creations,
his Slave One, his TIE Fighter.
It was adorable. And Strange Way almost crashed when he was turning it. I just wanted
shocker
to,
that.
Yeah.
Shocker that. Was Strange Way sober at the time? Doubtful.
I'm not sure.
Doubtful.
Unlikely.
But the important thing is, did Strange Way find, did he find
know.
The White Castle? We found the White Castle, but did he find the White Castle?
I don't know. If he didn't, he'll be trouble.
And also a big shout out to the was it the Holiday Inn? No, it wasn't the Holiday Inn. No, Sheraton.
It was a Sheraton.
It was the Sheraton. Thank you.
At Metro Detroit.
Yes.
It's by the airport.
Not only did they get into the event, their wait staff at the restaurant was they were on point
for the event.
They made drinks for the event. I had a martini that was part vodka and Earl Grey tea, and it was pretty damn good.
I had a peach one that was interesting as well. So
it was great stuff. They got into the event.
Next year, you forgot to mention.
Next year, they're going dark.
Dark.
They're going heavy duty dark. They're going to have escape rooms, probably courtesy of H.H. Holmes.
And a little friend called Jack.
Yeah, and the men who will be blamed for nothing.
Yes.
Wow, I can barely get that out.
The men who will be blamed for nothing.
Good guys. They're going to be one of the musical guests there. So yeah, good stuff at Motor City Steam Con. If you haven't been there, give it a shot.
And an affordable con.
Very affordable.
Very affordable. If you wanted to dabble, start your little steampunk adventures, recommend there.
Then when we got back, I finished up Podcasting for Dummies. Woo-hoo! It is now done.
Done.
We
dusted.
We are waiting for one more chapter that almost went...
Lost.
But we recovered. Everything was fine, and we're fixing it right now. And everything has turned out great. We're very, very happy with the final Podcasting for Dummies third mm-hmm. edition. Very happy about that.
About time we had a new edition.
I'm also tucking in with Operation Endgame. Mm-hmm. Pip has tried out one of the new chapters that I threw at her, speaking of dark, and it was, I think the words you used were, we're going to have to tone that down, and I'm like, no, I don't want to.
We'll see how that ends up. We'll see.
But it's been fun getting back in with Welly and Eliza. It's been a blast, that's moving along at a good clip. What about you? You've got some things percolating.
I had a very odd week. I mean,
as Jessica said... I'm picturing that's some cider. That's some
that's me, hot, yeah. Or yeah. A martini. I don't know.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long week, yeah. Preach, Jessica. Yeah. I had some interesting... Well, I dabbled in Operation Endgame. I messed around a little bit with Immortal Sisters, which is Immortal Progenies. And then, after talking to the agent about some things, I started on a new project.
And,
you know... I've forgotten how much I love like a brand new, nothing's touched it.
Yep.
You know, like as the what we do in the shadows would say.
Yes, exactly. It's about virgins and sandwiches and things like that.
It's a delicious virgin sandwich. And I'm just enjoying it. But interestingly, it's going to be set in the current day, which I don't know if I've ever set anything in the current day.
In fact, we were looking up small Virginia towns. Yeah. And what was the one that we found? Fancy Gap. And yeah,
so I can call it, you know, anything crazy. It's in Virginia.
My wife, the prolific creative.
Yeah, so it's.
I love that woman.
I do.
I love her more than sharks love blood.
That's right.
Thanks,
right.
Baby. But anyway, so it's going to be set in Virginia, a small town in Virginia, and it's going to have all the main protagonists are going to be female. Of
Sounds
different
good.
Ages and ethnicities and everything. Ben, so
it's going to be great. So for this show. Episode 78, we're talking about authors behaving badly. Basically stuff that's happening in the industry. For some reason, I thought we had already done an author's behaving badly.
I think we have touched
badly.
On it in various
I think
forms.
We have, but I think this is our first official show on authors behaving badly.
Yes.
And we may even make this a regular segment. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe people could send us in some
yeah,
examples.
There
of-
you go. If you see authors behaving badly, if you hear stories of this nature that we're about to share with you, by all means, go ahead and send us an email at 703. Try
call us.
Call us at 703-791-1701. You can also leave us a text message at that number through WhatsApp if you want
Ooh,
to do that.
Fancy.
And you can also drop us an email at tatmorris.com or at
pip@pjballantine.com.
And we'll see if we can't do some research and find out more. So we're going to start off with some storytelling tactics because Pip has gotten back into casual reading, which is something she's
nice.
Been wanting to do. It's nice because it's really hard for mm-hmm. authors to read for
yeah.
fun.
I put it on my Herbitica. Yeah. Like read half an hour. Just otherwise I don't do it. I just get caught up in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to be reading steampunk since I'm writing steampunk.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm not going to be reading urban fantasy because apparently now my virgin sandwich is urban fantasy.
Yep.
So I'm keeping away from those so nothing taints, you know, my writing. But
you picked up a book recently and
I picked it up at the Nebula convention.
And we're going to leave it at that because taking a higher road, we're not going to be dishing on other authors.
No, because that's unprofessional and a jerk behavior,
yeah, it's,
right?
Well, first off,
it's a trap.
It's a bad trap. And then, of course, it is also
inappropriate
if you're dogging other authors and the way they tell stories. However, mm-hmm. in this particular book, you were not all that happy with the way things went, did you?
It was beautifully written. I've got to lay that out there. You know, I love a good turn of phrase. I love a little bit of purple prose. Don't tell anybody. But this book was so beautifully wrought and so wonderful that it dropped me on my face at the end. It was like a huge spoiler? No, I'm not going to give spoilers. It was a huge, you know, like cliffhanger
right.
that really didn't need to be a cliffhanger.
So what?
How can I say this without? There was a final battle scene,
right?
And crickets. The end of the book.
You mean? It was a bit like a Jackie Chan movie. It just ends.
It just comes
to an abrupt halt. Is that what you're saying?
It did. And it was also like nothing was resolved. You know, I like, I mean, when you're writing a series of books, which this is, the first of a series,
right?
You want it to be...
You want it to tell a story from beginning to middle to end.
You want it to have an arc within the story, right, but also to leave enough to play with in the next book.
Let's use, for example, Phoenix Rising.
Yes.
We told the story of the Phoenix Society, of the Phoenix Rising, of Wellington and Eliza not only coming together, but unearthing this old cold case,
yes,
and then following it to its end. However, at the end of Phoenix Rising, we did leave threads open, such as the Maestro, which was probably the biggest thread we left open. I don't even think we mentioned the Maestro by name until the second book.
He was a shadowy figure.
He was the puppet master in the shadows, and he was alluded to throughout the book. Mm. There was also the dangling thread of Bruce,
yes,
who had been recruited by the Duke of Sussex to spy internally on the Ministry of Peculiar Currencies.
So there were some little, but there was an overarching.
But there was the story of Wellington Eliza and the Ministry of Peculiar Currencies, right?
And the Phoenix Society.
Right.
That was done.
Right.
This had none of that. It also had one of those reveals at the end, like, oh, this character, you know, you've been going along. By the way, they're actually this thing.
Dun, dun, dun. And meanwhile, you're sitting there as the reader going,
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite?
Was it Yosemite?
There was zero. I mean, there should be some hint.
But no Yosemite.
There was no Yosemite.
Okay, just checking.
This was just like, what?
Yeah.
It brought me to a screeching halt because there was nothing I could look back on and go, oh, I see. They were kind of hinting.
Yeah.
There was some little bit right there. And it didn't make sense to me in the plot.
So it reminds me of a very successful author. Again, we're not dropping names or anything, but a big successful author who had this trilogy. It was the first book in this trilogy was, in my opinion, the best book that this author had ever written.
Yeah.
Absolutely adored this book up to the last five pages. Because in the last five pages, there was a twist that started to unravel. And I'm sitting there going, all right, this came out of left field and I don't like this because it's building up and I've only got five pages left. We're down to four pages. It's still unraveling. I said, oh, this is not going to end well. Three pages left. It's reaching a climax, pardon the pun, in context of what was happening. And I said, oh, no, please don't do this to me.
And they did it.
And on the last page, we just hit the end.
You're welcome. Shut up.
And that was the way I felt. I mean, I was absolutely floored. But I was compelled. I have to read the second book.
Yeah.
Second book in the trilogy was a train wreck, in my opinion.
So you wished you hadn't read it.
But again, same kind of ending.
Oh. Here we go.
So I said, all right, let's hit the third book.
Jeez.
So I hit the third book. And I can't tell you a thing about what happened in that third book.
Yeah.
I just remember it ending, thinking to myself,
angry.
And I was done. I have never picked up a book from that author ever again. Because this is how I felt. I didn't feel like she could tell a story in one book because I didn't feel like I got one story.
You didn't get any resolution.
No, I felt like I got one giant segue to the second book, which was one giant segue to the third book, which supposedly was supposed to wrap everything up and resolve it.
Oh my God, I am surrounded by idiots.
I wasn't feeling it.
No.
I wasn't feeling it at all.
Well, I'm not thinking I'm going to pick up the next book. The thing that really annoyed me about the character reveal, like, oh, they're so they were sort of like a mediocre character, and then suddenly, randomly, just out of the blue, they could suddenly do all this magic. And I'm like, there was, what? Why? Okay, I'm not going. No. Precisely.
Okay.
So I think if you're going to have that, you need to put hints, and they can be very subtle hints in there about who that character is.
So do you think this is I mean, obviously authors do this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously authors will take a small story.
Though that was the other thing. This character turning around was the only way the situation could be changed.
But again, authors do this, and we're not naming names and telling stories out of context or anything. But we're just calling it like it is. George R. R. Martin is doing this. He's doing this with Game of Thrones. He started this massive tale, and it's still continuing on. Now that's his style, or at least that's the style of Game of Thrones.
Yes, but that's George.
Yeah.
Not many people have his following.
So that would be my question. Is this a legitimate style of storytelling to you, or do you think this is a real risk for authors? Wow. I wish you could see this face.
Good luck, Guardian.
I mean, I'm looking across the... Wow. I mean...
This is my serious face. Can't you tell?
That is your serious face right there. Now, or is this a storytelling style that you as an author and as a reader do not prefer?
As a reader, I did not like it at all. And I think the thing was, it was the story was just starting to really take off. I was sort of like halfway through and I was meh. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to enjoy this. Okay, it's been revealed to me what's happening. I'm in it. Yes, I understand this. And then they're like, no, you don't.
that is kind of so. It's a bit like a bait and switch.
It is a bit of a bait and switch. There was zero hints about this character having these powers or anything, or even this history. So, and also it went back to that trope that I really do not care for, which is the orphan savior.
Oh,
it turned into that,
fantastic.
Which I didn't know until they suddenly revealed that he had all these powers, and I was like, "Oh, really?"
Seriously, Lana, call Kenny Loggins because you're in the danger zone.
Weren't we over that in the 90s? Yeah. I just feel like we were over that in the 90s.
So that's just one thing about storytellers.
I think consider your craft.
Try to finish what you started, at least in one book.
Yes, please no more orphans. Please no.
Next up on our authors behaving badly. There's this one was pretty tough to swallow. So there was a story came on and I'm going to put the link in the show notes from the Let's Get Digital blog about scammers breaking the Kindle store. Mm-hmm. And what it is that it's these it was a particular book. And you know, when you look at the cover, the cover is not bad. It's actually a pretty decent cover, and it looks like a very stylish, well polished book. But here was the thing that made people raise their eyebrows and go, "Hang on a minute! This book shot to number one, and it shot to number one on not just Amazon bestsellers under the Kindle store for fantasy, but it also shot up under Amazon Movers and Shakers." Here's where people were saying, hang on a minute. Before it shot to number one, it was at 385,841.
Yeah.
Which gave it an improvement rate of 38,584%. At this point, someone should have been going, wait a minute. And actually, the author was confronted on Twitter. Someone said, what's your secret? Just came out and said, what's your secret? And this is what the author responded with. Friends in very high places, I guess, if you know what I mean.
Clickety click click.
Clickety click click click. Click, 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 click. So what's really going on? Well, along with this article, we're also going to put an article that was a BuzzFeed that did it.
Well, it was actually revealed by a Russian outfit. They
and
did.
BuzzFeed picked it up.
Yeah,
that's
BuzzFeed
right.
picked it up. Yeah.
But what it was it was a click farm. Mm-hmm. It was a Chinese click
inside
farm.
Inside a click farm.
Inside a click farm. And you'll actually see video, frightening video of people who are paid to literally go into these click farms. And it's not just now in the article that the Russians gave up. It was primarily for the App Store,
yes,
and for helping apps climb the top of the charts on the on the Apple App Store. But when you look at the video, it's not just iPhones.
It's Kindle Fires.
You see Kindle Fires. You see tablets. And literally, they are just—it's a wall. It's a wall of digital devices.
And they just sit in front of it, just tap, 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 tapping, tap, tapping, tap, tap,
tap, tap, tap, tap, tap, tap, tap, tap, tap.
Yeah.
And for all these clicks, well, not only is the author making some bank, but you know, it's all happening. And of course, these people are taking a cut as well. But this is all basically being done through KU and KDP.
Yeah.
And this was my fear from day one. I mean, when you're when you're telling people we're going to give you an amount of money based on how many pages you've read.
Yeah.
Well, pretty soon you're going to be in a deluge of the Evelyn Woods speed reading graduates.
Yeah, because flick.
Suddenly everybody is just flipping through pages and you're getting a chunk of the change.
Yeah.
I was a little disheartened when I saw this, but the fact that now authors are trying to play the system.
You don't have to go into any real dark corners. I believe you just go on Fiverr and, you know, there's all these people who will happily do this for, you know, pennies on the dollar.
Okay, so this is from the blog post. It says, we're not talking about the dark net here. These services are open to the public and incredibly easy to find. I'm not going to link to them directly, thank you. But here's an example of the kind of services they offer. For a paltry $59, 100 guaranteed Kindle Unlimited borrows. Huh. For $109, 200 KU borrows with a guaranteed top 100 ranking. And then for merely $209, and, you know, we know $200 can go... You know, that can
get a book bub for that.
You can get a book bub for that. You can do a lot of marketing for that.
Yeah.
But this is where they get you. You can get up to 1,000 KU borrows with a guaranteed top 5 ranking in any category.
I feel that, but you only get... I think it's a diminishing return. What they're trying to do is to get people interested in your book. But honestly... if someone sees, oh, look, that book's in top 5, I'll go and read it, and then it's junk, I mean, they're not going to follow your career or anything. So I think it's...
Now, the thing is, this author featured in this particular blog post isn't the first author to do this.
No,
and that's the worst bit. There was a book that hit number one while the guy was writing this article, and Amazon didn't do a thing about it.
Yeah.
And it's basically hovering in the top of the charts. And then there's another author, according to this article, this is what it said. Another author who has been engaging in various shady tactics for years with impunity has gatecrashed the top 10 4 times in the last 6 weeks using ClickForms. His books tend to immediately slink back to 100,000 in the charts. One of the keys to this is that a lot of the people or a lot of these books don't have also bots rustling.
Someone else is also buying.
No one's buying any of their books. And on the same day that this ClickFarm book, the ClickFarm book featured in this article, hit number one on Amazon, KDP announced yet another drop in rates for Kindle Unlimited authors.
See, that's the thing. People would say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, that person's just getting up into top 10. Maybe it's just soothing their ego. No, it's not. It's taking money out of people's pockets. It's also pushing people out of the top 10 who might deserve to be there, who actually put in effort and write and market and do the whole thing.
And that just...
Sticks in the craw, don't it?
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it.
America.
And it's worked out pretty well
so far.
Actually,
it's not America. America, it's mostly in China.
But it's America, the land of opportunity and opportunists. I mean, this was my fear of KDP and KU from the get-go.
Yeah.
From the get-go.
It's so hard to know how they're going to keep, you know.
And I'm sorry. How was that even sustainable? To be able to say, okay, we're going to pay you based on... And I remember some authors were going, well, you know, if you're worried about how many pages are being read, then maybe you should go on ahead and write a better book. It's like, no, you don't understand. This is rife for someone to scam.
Yeah.
And
when you see the pictures of the click farms, you're like, yep, God, that's how you would, how
that's
you would
how
do
you
it.
Do it. That's how you would do it. Now, you asked a pretty funny question about that. You said, how can they afford all these? I can tell you right now, these are not the top of the line.
No, these are the dodgy phones.
These are the ones that basically maybe they couldn't hold a charge for very long.
Probably bought them off the black market.
Black market, or they were the rejects. But I mean, the thing, how many authors are actually making money based on, you know, okay, you know, I wrote a 300-page book and I've read 200 pages, and bookstores and libraries are going to go, we're going to give you X amount of dollars for that. It's a ridiculous system.
And interestingly, they've revealed that KU buyers, Kindle, you know, people who pay a set amount every month to read books, do not buy books over on the regular Kindle store.
No.
They are two distinct markets.
Right.
So the people who are in KU are earning, you know, pennies, whatever, on the page read, And that's money out of their back pocket because of these click farms.
It absolutely sucks. Absolutely sucks. And to wrap up our authors behaving badly, this is actually more about the business aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to leave it more as an advice.
Okay.
Do not change your workflow in the middle of a project. So here's what happened. This was a different project that I've been working on, in tandem with Podcasting for Dummies and Operation Endgame. It was another project, and the editor in question apparently had never worked with Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a bad sign.
Now, honestly, I have reached a point with the publishing industry where if you don't understand how the new technology works, be it Scrivener or Dropbox, fine. I'm not going to push it on you. I'm just going to say this is an alternative way of doing things and probably the easiest way for me to get you files.
Look, Word track changes is as high tech as some people.
And
get.
If some people are that high tech, then God love them, bless. And you know, and then we'll just move on. But this particular editor and publisher was fascinated with Dropbox.
Uh-huh.
So they decided to go on ahead and say, you know what? We're just going to go on ahead and we're going to institute Dropbox. But the problem was they did it in the middle of the workflow.
Uh-huh.
So
oh dear.
We're in finals. We're in final checks for everything. And I'm happening to looking over the article and looking over the layout. And I'm going, we're missing a lot of stuff here. We're missing things. We're missing things that I know I added in here. And I did some digging, did some more digging. And then I found the stuff that I'd written.
Yeah.
But it had been submitted before the final deadline. However, because the workflow had changed in the middle of the project, that chunk, and these were three key chapters in this work,
got missed,
got lost. They didn't even get seen. They got lost, and I blew a bit of a gasket. I think you could say that. I think I was along this lines.
Was the whole world gone crazy?
I believe that's what it was. And then I got down with the editor and handled it in the most professional way possible.
Private Pyle, I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Exactly 3 fucking seconds to wipe that stupid looking grin off your face, or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull fuck you.
Was that the tone that I took?
Slightly.
That's what I thought.
A little bit like that.
I mean, you
should keep your workflow for one project. Don't change midstream.
No.
Everyone gets confused.
Things
get missed.
And don't get me wrong, it's great to embrace new technology.
But at the beginning.
It's great to, yes. Yes. It's great to embrace new things. Podcasting, for example, great thing to embrace. Twitch, which I'm kind of dabbling with over twitch.tv. I am taking it in baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching how other people do it. I'm trying to figure out how I could work Twitch into my daily schedule. I don't know if it's going to happen because that's a major.
I'm giving you that look again.
You are giving me that look again. I love you, darling. You're making me look again. I know. You're looking at me going, I got work to do. I got me some work to do.
But I think there's another lesson from your little shenanigans that went in.
Shenanigans, that's a good word.
And that is absolutely make sure to keep every piece of correspondence and email between
paper
you
trails.
And an editor.
Yeah.
Because later on that will cover your behind.
Yes. Paper trails still work. Paper trails still matter.
Yeah.
Sometimes publishers will look at said paper trail, know they screwed up, and they'll still take the, well, we're the publisher, you know.
Yeah, but you still got the high ground.
Yeah, you do have the high ground. Maybe what they do in response to said paper trail is
inappropriate.
But you suck it up and you can say, "Yeah, but I got the paper trail behind me and
I'll fix it."
And I've got my reputation is intact. So, yeah, paper trails matter. And also but going back to whole file management does matter. And it's something you really need to keep track of. If you want to incorporate in new technology, by all means do so. But either find a time or a place in the middle of the project that makes sense, not in the middle of a workflow. Maybe at the end of workflow step one, and then a workflow step two, which could be editorial review or final review, then you incorporate the new workflow.
Believe me, we know, you and I have to keep our workflow.
Yes.
We've had a few tangles.
We've had a few tangles from time to time. But it has not affected us in any way, as I've said before, and I will say it again.
He's still alive.
I love that woman.
I do.
I love her more than sharks love blood.
And I do. I do, my darling. I do. But, I mean, what's the look for?
I'm just like, I'm a shark.
Yes, you are, baby. You're my little great white. Anyway.
I do burn easily.
What was that?
I do burn easily.
That you do, baby. That you do.
Yeah, it's that time when you're asking.
Oh, what's in the box?
Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations.
Time for a loot crate looky-loo on the shared desk.
What's in the fucking box?
You want to see it open as well as I.
So we've been sitting on this loot crate for a while.
Not literally sitting on it, because that would be...
That would be uncomfortable.
What's the theme of the loot crate?
If I remember correctly, it was animation.
Ooh,
I believe it was animation. Am I right?
Yes. Bob's Burgers appears to be on the inside of the box.
It was animation. It was animation.
Okay.
So let's take a look at what we got here.
Okay. We've got a Rick and Morty. Is it?
Explicit content. I saw the explicit content
it's
on
Rick,
the side.
Peace Among Worlds, Season 2, Episode 2. I don't know what the explicit content is, but I'm curious to find out.
Oh, so she's going to go on
ahead and
tear
actually
that.
Open this open. If this is PG-13 or R-rated, I'm not quite sure.
Before anybody says anything, no, Rick and Morty they're not in our fandom. I've heard a lot of good things about Rick and Morty, but no, I know nothing about Rick and Morty.
Oh, he's flipping the bird.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
He's flipping the bird. He's flipping the bird.
From what I understand, the scientist in question here,
Rick.
he's kind of like a Dr. Everett Scott, but ruder. That's the way I understand it anyway.
Oh, okay. Bob's Burgers. What is this?
What is that?
It is. I think it's a DVD. Is it?
What?
I don't know what's in there.
Really? No. There's no way it could be a DVD.
Yeah, you open. I can't crack that with my fingernails. But, look. It's a
Bob's Burgers pin.
Bob's Burgers pin. Oh, look. We've got a Slurm from Futurama.
Oh, nice.
And it's a koozie. Actually, it's two koozies.
It's two. Oh, we got a pair of koozies. Okay.
For Slurm. And, I think. Oh, and here's the T-shirt.
And what's the T-shirt?
The T-shirt is green.
It's green.
And it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, really?
Heroes in a half shell. Do do do.
Yeah, but you're flashing me the back of it, honey.
No, that's the front. See the turtles.
Oh, that's
the bottom.
Front. Oh, wow.
The turtles are on the bottom.
Oh, nice. It's very
stylish.
The
back has nothing.
Oh, okay.
Except cat fur, because that's.
Well, that's you just breathe that in.
I just pulled it out of the box.
You
so
just breathe that in. So go ahead and hand me the booklet. And maybe we can find out what this is, because I don't want to necessarily break the seal. But
no,
yeah, it's animation. There were literally. I hate to say this. There were literally no. Nothing from our fandoms in there.
No. Our fandoms were...
But
guess what? Our box of giveaways is getting some stuff.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing, is that the
you don't want the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles T-shirt?
If you don't want it... I mean, if it's not my fandom. So
it's
you want it...
No, I don't want it.
Then you're welcome.
I'm not a Turtles person.
Okay. So the Bob's Burger
thing... I love Turtles, but not those Turtles. I'm sorry, Turtles.
After over 20 years of absence, the 90s returned animation to primetime with The Simpsons, etc., etc., etc. One of our favorite parts of Bob's Burgers are the many Burger of the Day specials spiced with delicious puns. That's why we couldn't resist, including 25 hand-selected recipes.
Oh, the recipe cards.
Including vegetarian options from the Bob's Burgers cookbook.
That's kind of cool.
So that's, they're printed on sturdy 5x7 cards. They come in a box designed to look like the restaurant. So that's a question. Do we want to, I mean, while we're not fans of Bob's Burgers.
We are fans of burgers.
We are fans of burgers.
We'll have to think about that
one. We'll have to think about that one,
What about Slurm? Do you need koozies?
We do not need koozies, baby. I'm sorry. We do not need koozies.
Well, we'll keep the pen.
See, I was kind of hoping that they would have had some.
See, that's the thing. When you get a box, you don't know what you're going to get in it. So
I think what we're going to do, this will actually be the first box from beginning to end that I think we're going to just go on ahead and just pop into
into the giveaway box.
Into the giveaway box. So
if you see us at an event where we what's the next event will you be taking the giveaways to?
Probably Escape Velocity.
Escape Velocity.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we'll talk about more about Escape Velocity in a few moments, but I tell you what, let's go on ahead and let's also include with this the booklet.
Okay. So
that way, if people are really super uber fascinated by that,
but we'll keep the pin.
I guess we'll keep the pin. Yeah, we'll have to keep the pin.
Yeah, keep the pin.
All right, we always keep the pin.
Sorry, guys, we always keep the pin.
We're going to be starting up. You might actually see me or Pip wearing the ribbon that has all the pins from our various
I don't know, like a Boy Scout,
like a Nerd Scout, I guess. It could be something like that. So not a bad loot crate,
but not
our loot crate. But that's. No, that was good times. Good times. You have a saying about that. What? Not everyone's a coconut.
Not everyone's a coconut.
Yeah. So you know, you can't expect every.
Do you
want
to know
crate.
What that means?
I'd love to know what that means.
Do you know what that? Have you been to a coconut shy?
No.
Okay. Have you been to a carnival or a fair or you know
that has coconuts?
Okay, so it comes, you know, a British fair usually has, you know, count how many jelly beans are in the jar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A coconut shy is where they put like a coconut on top of a steak, but they're not like jammed onto the steak. They're just sitting on top of this little platform.
I find this absolutely.
And then you throw tennis balls, and if you knock the coconut off with the tennis ball, you get the coconut.
Oh, nice.
That was from the days when coconuts were impressive. when like no one had coconuts.
Wow. Okay.
They were like, ooh, coconut.
And there you have it. Well, now.
Edification is complete.
There we go. Your brain's a little bigger now thanks to the shared desk. So let's talk a little bit about what we got coming up.
Okay. End of the year is rising.
Well, yeah, I know. It's coming straight. It's coming straight for us. August. So one thing you're going to notice about our feed in August, starting on August 1st, I don't know if any of these will include my lovely counterpart across from me, but I was thrown a challenge by
I think
Craig
you're
Stepp.
A mad thing, but yeah. Go for it.
I was thrown a challenge by Craig Stepp over at Technorama at technorama.com.
You know you can refuse challenges. I'm
not
just
from
saying.
Craig Stepp. Not okay. From Craig Stepp. Fair I cannot enough. I cannot refuse it from Craig Stepp.
Here we go.
So it's called the Dog Days of Podcasting.
Woof woof.
Woof woof. And the challenge is that you podcast every day for the month of August, from August 1st to the end of August.
It's a good thing
August
our child
31st.
Is going away for the month,
yeah,
so you'll have
God
some more
that.
Time.
And the thing about these podcasts is they don't have to be long. They don't have to be really super.
They don't have to have
polished.
Music and stuff.
They don't have to have. I will. Knowing me, I will probably come.
Are
up
you going to drop them in this feed? Are you?
Yes. Here's the reason why I'm dropping them into this particular feed. So. Uh-huh. I manage 3 podcasts on a whole. It's going to be 4 come September. I'm going to co-manage Podcasting for Dummies of the Companion podcast with Chuck and Craig. So we're good there. But
I am giving you the face.
I know you're giving me the face. I know you're giving the face.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Thank you. I love that face. You know how much I love that face. Anyway, there is the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.com, Tales in the Archives.
Which I am going to be producing.
Right. And we produce that together.
Yes.
And we should be starting, once we get 5 stories recorded and in the hopper. We're going to fire them away. So there's that one. But then that would mean that if I did the Dog Days of Podcasting there, I would have to do something about steampunk every day between August and September. That would be a challenge.
Yes.
I could probably do it, but I don't feel that confident about it.
No.
I don't feel that confident about it.
Where is this?
No, hang on. Then you've got the Destiny podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is Happy Hour from the Tower at happyhourfromthetower.com. But here's the problem with doing that. It's a brand new podcast. It's only like, I'm coming up on episode 13.
You might scare some people away with that many content.
Yes, because suddenly they're like, hang on a minute. These guys had 12 episodes every other week, and now suddenly I'm getting an episode every damn day. Now I could easily do like a tip a day for that podcast, but then that would raise the bar and that might turn some people off because that's a lot of Destiny to take in.
That is.
Plus also, it would be right before the launch of Destiny 2. So if this was in September, I'd be like, absolutely, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, but
it's August, it doesn't make any sense. And then so that leaves the shared desk, thesharedesk.com. And that's perfect because this is kind of a catch-all for a lot of things
and
we do.
And people are used to us talking.
Exactly. And even if it's just me for 5
professional
minutes.
Professional talking.
Professional banter. And I can talk about, you know, pretty much anything from writing to nerdy stuff. I could cover that on the shared desk.
Uh-huh.
So the challenge is going to be, can I do it every day between August 1st and August
31st? Are you going to be using your iPhone to record certain things?
I would probably use...
I've heard that's quite a good...
Yeah.
Somebody told me.
Yes. The trick is going to be uploading it. And what I'm probably going to do instead is I'm going to probably take advantage of the mornings when I come down here to exercise. And it's even extra motivation for me to get out of freaking bed, exercise, then immediately come in here.
Huff and puff and talk.
Here's my
real problem that I have with this is...
The dog days.
No. Can you keep it to 5 minutes?
Yes. I can keep it to 5 minutes. That's the second challenge of the Dog Days of Podcasting.
I'm raising an eyebrow.
I bet you are.
What was that? I couldn't hear you over the sound of your wrongness.
But I'm going to give it a shot. That's why it's called a challenge, honey. Suck it. So then we go to August 19th, which is Murder as You Like It in Mechanicsburg, PA. That's going to be from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And that is on August 19th. So we're going to be there. We're going to be talking. We're going to be doing our thing. We're going to be talking about not just how to write murder, but how to write good mysteries, even with steampunk as your backdrop.
Yeah.
Should be a lot of fun. And then September 1st through the 4th, we have Escape Velocity at escapevelocity.events.
Uh-huh.
I will be there with Nick and
Nuck,
and we'll be selling books and also giving all kinds of different talks and panel talks. The theme this year is about artificial intelligence, so that should be hella fun, hella good times. And then, of course, Nick and I are going to be doing. I'm going to be doing the Big Score, an updated version of the Big Score. But the best bit is Nick and I are going to shut it down with Slightly Off Key. So we get to do our Slightly Off Key talk, which you have never seen. And I think you would. I think you're going to
enjoy
it.
No, I haven't seen it.
No, you haven't seen that. All right. Then in October is the Maryland Renaissance Festival. We're going to be going there again on the Day of Wrong.
Whenever that day is.
The dates are TBA.
Sure about that.
We'll let you know when that is once we get everything firmed up and ready to go. But here's another big one. On the 28th of October, my 49th birthday, I am not going to be here in lovely Imagine That Studios.
Where are you
going to
be?
I am going to be in Phoenix, Arizona with Chuck Tomasi.
Well, I feel slighted now.
Yes, but don't worry, because the following weekend you'll hook up with me at the Drake Writing Retreat.
Yeah, we're doing a writing retreat. So.
But Chuck Tomasi and I, are going to be hosting the PIY Workshop. Podcast It Yourself Workshop. We're going to have some links to different things about where you can find out more information on it coming soon. But this is a launch event for Podcasting for Dummies, the third edition. We're going to have podcasters that are currently podcasting. We're going to have some legends of podcasting coming out of retirement.
Legends of podcasting.
We're going to get Mike Menengay on the stage. We're going to get Jack Mangan on the stage,
the Iron Man
of podcasting himself. We're gonna get some people together, and we're gonna just talk about the craft of podcasting, how to make it work, and we're gonna answer your questions. And of course, we're also going to sell copies of the book. We will have details on it as that unfolds. So that takes us all the way to the end of October, and that's where we're gonna stop.
We'll take a break.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break, and somewhere in there, hopefully, if the creeks don't flood and something, if the creeks don't rise, one of those southern sayings, we're going to have Operation Endgame out.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a projected date. We want to get it out around Halloween, around October 28th. The problem is just trying to make sure that I keep the words coming. And that's been a challenge with everything that we
And that's
know.
When I say
That's when you say
Work.
That's exactly. I'm working on it. But have you got anything else you want to close with?
No. Oh, don't forget my Patreon. I will.
There we go.
When you were talking about doing,
you don't pimp that enough.
I do. I forget about it. I'm actually. I've written a short story that is exclusive to Patreon people, and it is a space story. But the next story I'm writing is about dragons and a hatching ground in dragons.
Where can they find your Patreon?
If you go to my website, pjballantine.com, there is the prominent link to my Patreon there. And I post about it quite often on my Facebook author page.
And guess what? You can probably also find it here in the show notes at the shared desk.
We'll stick it in the shorts for you.
Yeah, we will. So remember, you can also reach out to us with your voicemail and your thoughts about this show and other shows we've done in the past. at 703-791-1701. Remember, WhatsApp, that works for Woo-hoo! Us too. You can also find us at t@tmorris.com.
pip@pjballantine.com.
And then you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Pinterest.
Yeah, I mean, we're out there. We're out there. You can find us.
Tumblr.
And of course,
we've got Tumblr.
And the Tumbles. So, you know, go on ahead. Pay us a visit. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Again, remember, the Share Desk is protected by a non-commercial, no-derivative, share-alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that at creativecommons.org. So happy to sit down with you all and just spend some time. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the ride.
Catch you later.